What's up, Aggie Radio? You're here listening to Overcompetitive Bystanders here on KBLU 92.3.
Yeah, we're really excited for the show today. It's going to be pretty good. We're going to be talking a lot about the Olympics. I'm Mason, and I've got Alex here with me. And yeah, we've got a pretty good show here ahead of us. We're going to start off with a little bit of college football, which I always try and talk about. I will talk about college football day and night with anyone who will talk to me. You can ask anyone who has ever talked to me, and they will know that that is true.
Way too much college football. But then again, I could talk for hours about the NFL, and nobody wants to listen to me talk for hours about the NFL. So
yeah, it's because you don't make as many good points as I do.
No, just nobody cares as much about the NFL, apparently.
All right, well, we're going to start off with a little bit of topics of the Mountain West. I thought it was really interesting. Let's see where I had it. There was the ESPN Top 25 Power Ranking. They put San Diego State at number 25 in their Top 25, and they left Boise State out of it. I mean, a couple weeks ago we were talking about if Boise State could go undefeated and if they deserve a spot in the playoff, and now all of a sudden ESPN isn't even putting them in their Top 25 initially, and San Diego State is. I thought that was kind of crazy.
Yeah, well, I think the bigger thing with us saying Boise State was going to go undefeated was it was more like, well, their schedule is so easy that, like, but I mean, yeah, I'm shocked that Boise State is put lower than San Diego State, but if you, like, look around, a lot of people are super high on San Diego State right now, and I'm not quite sure why.
Yeah, like, I understand. I think San Diego State's going to be a killer team. I think it helps represent the Mountain West well to have San Diego State and Boise State be such strong teams. I was reading an article today in the San Diego Union Tribune that talked about how San Diego State is, quote, set up for unprecedented success, which I think is true. I think San Diego State's going to play really well this year, and I think they're going to do well. My main reason that I'm really, like, I am high on San Diego State. I think they're going to do great, and it is because of Pumphreys. I think Pumphreys is a killer running back. He absolutely destroyed Utah State last year. And I think he opened the door to where every other team that we played after that said, you know, we're just going to run it.
I would tell you that a team can't just function on a running back, but not only would Stanford tell me that I'm wrong, but the Cowboys of yore would tell me I'm wrong. So, yeah, he's a really good running back. I don't see him as high as everybody else. Like, and the thing is they start out in New Hampshire, but then they have California at home, and then they go at Northern Illinois, and I don't think they win either of those games, and I think that just sets a precedent for their whole season. Like, yeah, if they win those, they'll definitely be top 25, but I don't think they'll beat them, and I don't think they're a top 25 team.
Yeah, well, my thing is, so right now, in the AP poll, they're just shortly out of the playoff, or sorry, not the playoff, the top 25. They'd be around 35-ish, which I think is fair.
Yeah, I could put them at like 35, 40, but 25 is a little bit too far for me. They're a really good team. If they play a team like Utah State last year who just couldn't stop the run, they're going to win. They're going to run all over you, tire out your defense, and they're just going to win.
Yeah, so, I mean, while we're looking at their schedule here, there's not really any games that I look at and I just say, man, I can't see them winning that game. Cal, although they are they're a Pac-12 team, they're a Power 5 team, they're not really that good. I mean, they have their good years. They just lost Goff. I mean, they're not going to be doing anything this year. They're expected to be pretty bad. I would put San Diego State as a favorite in that game. I don't feel like that's too big of a stretch. I mean, this is a Cal team they're rebuilding. It's not saying that they're going to be bad for a while. It's just this year isn't a good year for them.
Okay.
Northern Illinois, they're a good team. I don't think they're as good. I mean, they're another candidate for the Big 12 expansion, but I don't know. I don't know as much about Northern Illinois, but I just haven't been as impressed by him.
I mean, Northern Illinois at Ohio State last year lost by a single touchdown, and this is when Ohio State was ranked number one in the country. Like, they're a good team and could put up results. And if San Diego State has any other, like, if they've come out and gotten a better quarterback or a better wide receiver, and they can have a threat in the air as well on the ground, they're a top 25 team for sure. But just having their Pomfreys, I don't think they're a top 25 team.
See, one of the things is they returned the Mountain West Conference Player of the Year on offense, which was Pomfrey, on defense, which was DeMonte Kazi, and on special teams, which was Rashad Penny. So, I mean, offense, defense, and special teams, they have the best player in the conference. And they have 14 returning starters. They had six that were all-conference first team. I mean, I understand they're not my favorite team in the conference. I still pick Boise ahead of them, but they are good. I mean, I feel like they're going to do well, but not better than Boise. Like, I honestly think at the end of the year, San Diego State and Boise State are both in the top 25. But I think Boise's a lot higher.
Okay. That's fair, I guess. I, of course, put Boise State above San Diego State. I put Utah State above San Diego State.
I don't know if I do that.
Like, I don't. I think they're gonna come here in October and they're gonna get trounced in Logan.
Oh, I do agree that October game, that was commented the other day. I didn't think about how difficult that game is gonna be for San Diego State. I mean, they're going to Logan, Utah, on the 28th of October. That's not San Diego weather. That's going to be cold. That's going to be nasty. And it's going to be a rough transition for those players to go from that nice San Diego weather to that terrible Logan weather in late October.
Yeah, but even like, maybe I'm just a big homer, but I even put Utah State over San Diego State, not just in that game. I think at the end of the season, Utah State will be ranked higher than San Diego State.
Okay. So where do you have San Diego State going over the course of the season?
Let's see. I understand Cal is rebuilding, but they're still a decent team. I don't think San Diego State beats California. I definitely think they lose at Northern Illinois. They beat South Alabama. They beat UNLV. They beat San Fresno. Beat San Jose. Lose to Utah State. Beat Hawaii. And then they give up one game against Nevada or Wyoming, if not both. And then they come home and beat Colorado State. So I have them losing four.
Four games. So 8-4. That's still a good season. I mean, that's not bad.
I'm telling you, they're a good team. Pomfrey's is the best running back in the Mountain West.
I think McNichols might have an argument there.
Okay. He's in the top two running backs in the Mountain West.
I'll give you that.
But when he's not the best running back in the conference, and they... Honestly, I don't think they have another threat on their offense. Their defense is very strong, but if you can stop the run, you stop San Diego State.
That's true. I do think that's fair. I think it'll be interesting to see what happens, because I honestly think the really, really great game, the game that I'm currently really excited for, is that conference championship game, which will be Boise versus San Diego State, unless some miracle happens. And that miracle would be at Utah State, making it Utah State, San Diego State. I don't see anybody else making it into it.
Yeah, there's no one else on that side of the division that'll beat San Diego State.
Yeah, I think that game is going to be great. I think it's going to be super impressive. It's going to be really exciting. And I think no matter what happens, you're going to have a great game there, because you either have Rippon, which is the best quarterback, and McNichols, who I think is the best running back, and then against Pomfrey and probably the best defense. When they did, USA Today did a projection of the Mountain West and said who they thought were the best units for each team. Every single defensive unit was San Diego State, every single one. Defensive line, linebackers, cornerbacks. I think it was linebackers. They tied with Boise State, but they still had it. And Boise had the best running back and quarterback, but that was it. I mean, this is something that I'm looking at. I'm like, wow, this is going to be a killer year for both of these teams. I would love to see both of them just go through, wreck almost everybody in the conference, except for both maybe win very, very tight games against Utah State.
Wait, you're hoping that they win tight games against
Utah
State?
Here's the reason why. You got to let me explain. Maybe they win tight games against Utah State, Those being the only two losses that Utah State gets the whole year. But then Utah State, or Boise State and San Diego State meet in the conference championship, both with high rankings, making it so whoever wins that game can catapult into the college football playoff, being an undefeated team at that point. Now, I don't know how likely that is, but I think that would be awesome.
So you would rather Boise State go undefeated and go to the playoffs than Utah State go undefeated or lose one game throughout the season? Is that what I'm hearing?
I just think it's more realistic. I think the idea of Boise going undefeated is more realistic. I think the idea of San Diego State going undefeated is more realistic. Yeah, obviously, if I could play the whole season out, BYU doesn't win a game all year, Utah State wins every game all year, and we make it into the playoff. But that's not going to happen. But I do see, I see both of these teams, Boise and San Diego State, having a great season. Now, a little sidetrack, not too much. It was, I thought this was really humorous. I was telling Alex about this when he got into the booth. There was a rumor that broke today from an inside source that tomorrow at 2 p.m., BYU will be announcing, will be accepting the invitation into the Big 12. And I thought this was hilarious. First of all, the Big 12 hasn't made a decision. They probably won't make a decision until October.
And the Big 12 will be the ones to announce it, not the individual schools, especially not BYU.
Yeah. Secondly, like, no one else is following this rumor. I mean, this one kid who's at BYU is like, oh, yeah, like, BYU's going to announce it tomorrow. Yeah, sorry. If other news outlets were picking this up and following it, if we were seeing this on ESPN, if we were seeing this on, you know, Desert News, even on KSL, which is the biggest BYU homer of them all, at that point you go, oh, maybe there is some weight to it. Nothing else is catching. I think it's really funny. Yesterday I tweeted my stat of the day on my Twitter account. I'm going to repeat it today just because I love it so much. So my stat of the day today is the winning percentage over the past 5 years against teams from a current teams from a Power 5 conference with a winning record. So it kind of is a specific stat. This tells you, recently, have you beat Power 5 teams that have been good, not just Power 5 teams? And I think this really tells you, if you're looking for football, who do you want in your conference? The number one team was Houston. They've beat 50% of the teams that they've faced that have been winning and in a Power 5 conference. That's good. You're telling me you're going to take a team and they can compete in those competitive games and win it 50% of the time?
And that's slowly awesome. Improve by being in your conference and get even better and be a better team in your conference?
Yeah, I think it's an awesome deal. So Houston looks great there. Boise comes in second with 44.4%. That's great. I think it's the same idea. People don't doubt if Boise's good at football. People just doubt, is the city too small? Is the stadium too small? Is it too far away? Do they have anything else to offer? Is it media market? There's a lot more to it.
Right.
Cincinnati then comes in next. Then it's UCF. Then it's ECU.
Oh, geez.
Then it's Colorado State. Then it's UConn. UConn then comes in.
This is just football. This isn't this women's is just basketball.
Football. This is just football.
Okay.
Then Northern Illinois. And then finally, we're over halfway through the list. Well, probably about halfway through the list. Finally, BYU comes in. Over the past 5 years, against Power 5 teams that have been winning, they have a 15.4% win record.
But BYU's football team is always so good and so consistent and is such a winning team.
But they don't beat teams that are good.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of BYU, but that stat actually shocked me. Like, I think I definitely thought they put up a better fight against good teams. Granted, I'm curious how many of those teams are Utah.
Actually, I did research on this because I was talking to one of my buddies, and he said no, but the winning percentage can be skewed because, well, if BYU played 20 games and UConn played one or two, probably two, that would be a more it'd be either be 100% or zero if it was one. But if UConn played three games, all of a sudden that stat goes totally out of line.
Right.
And I looked it up, and BYU has played 13, and the example that was brought up of Northern Illinois, UCF, they had played 12.
Yeah, there you go.
They played 12. So it was basically just like, you know, it was similar numbers. Two of those games that BYU lost didn't even count in the past 5 years because Utah finished the season 5-7. So those didn't even count. One of the years it did, they lost to Notre Dame that went on to play in the national championship. So that's a valid loss. You look at that and that's good. But there were a lot of them. I thought it was really interesting. BYU has won a lot of games against teams that went like 6-7 or 5-7 and just were like right on the edge. And so I think if you take in teams that were like one game under 500 or two games under 500, BYU has a lot better stat there. And you could say, like, yeah, BYU loses that game, all of a sudden that team's over 500 and it hurts BYU's stats even more. But at the same time, those are mediocre teams and it's kind of skewing it. I thought it was so interesting. I was trying to look up the number for Utah State and see where Utah State landed percentage-wise. I ended up having the time. I don't think it was that good a number, though.
Yeah, I don't want to see that number. I like being happy about my Utah State, and yeah. I don't think that number would make me very happy.
Yeah, it wasn't a very impressive number. I got to, like, 1-3 over the past, like, 4 years, and I was just like, oh. And then I had something really important that popped up, and it wasn't just the fact that I wanted to avoid this stat and not find out what the real number was.
Sure.
But, yeah, it was interesting. So I think it's interesting to see what happens with the Big 12. I mean, if tomorrow at 2 p.m. there's an announcement.
Yeah, and we're wrong, and we look dumb, and all of you BYU fans that happen to listen to KBLU can come and spite us, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah. So we're going to keep moving on. Most of the rest of what we're talking about today is going to be about the Olympics. The Olympics is a pretty big thing going on. I enjoy watching the Olympics. I've got kind of burnt out recently. I feel like I've watched a lot of it. But I still will watch it every once in a while. But one thing that I thought was weird was Gabby Douglas from the gymnastics team. She got a lot of flack because when they were doing the gold medal ceremony and they played the national anthem, she didn't put her hand over her heart. And people have been kind of ripping into her. I think that's kind of weird. Like, should her hand be over her heart? Yes.
But the thing is, she's sitting there, like, standing at attention. It's not like she's, like, sitting there, like, goofing off or whatever. She is standing there, standing at attention. For whatever reason, that's what she does when she listens to the national anthem. She doesn't feel necessary to put her hand over her heart. No. She won a country. She went to the Olympics to win a medal for her country. She did it. She came out and said she did it for her country.
And this is the second time she's gotten a gold for her team, too. Like, right. They got it in London as well.
My thing is there's just a lot of reasons people don't put their hand over their heart, and it might be some like political protest over under God, or it might just be that they feel more comfortable standing at attention. You never know. And like, obviously she wasn't trying to be disrespectful, and that's the issue. If she had been like trying to be disrespectful, or if she was purposely doing something, or if she was doing something like, but she was standing there at attention, she was paying attention to the ceremony, like, I think the fact that she's getting flack is so disgusting.
Yeah. One of my things is I've had it before where I've been doing something. Say I'm at a game, say I'm somewhere, the national anthem starts playing, and maybe it takes me a minute to realize that I have a hat on and I should take my hat off, or maybe I'm doing something and I don't realize my hand isn't over my heart. Like, maybe she's just taking in the fact that she just won a gold and she's just standing there like in awe, and it didn't necessarily like cross her mind like, oh, my hand needs to be over my heart, until too late and it was the national anthem was done.
Whatever the reasons were, she doesn't deserve any of the flack. So
yeah, now as for teams that deserve flack, we're gonna switch it over to the USA women's soccer team. Yay, they lost in the quarterfinals. Are you kidding me?
The first time they haven't medaled.
Yeah. Like, ever.
Ever.
Yeah. This is insane. And they're coming off of winning the World Cup. They're the strong favorite. Like, I understand. Like, honestly, if you're in a game and you lose, like, you're the favorite in the tournament and you come in second, like, I would, at that point, I don't look at it and say, like, man, you failed. If you come into a tournament and maybe you lose a close one in the semifinals to the team that ends up going and winning the gold and you end up getting a bronze, okay, like, yeah, there's a discussion there. But you didn't even make it to the medals.
The thing is they were the better team in this match. There's no question in my mind that Team USA was the better team.
I agree. Now, Hope Solo did catch a lot of flack because she talked about that. She called out Sweden and said that they were cowards and that the best team didn't win. And for a player that just lost, I think that's, like, that's uncalled for. There's no need to call out the other team and say you're cowards. Like,
she just lost a game. How mad would you be if you're like favorites to win a tournament and then you lose a game you shouldn't have lost to and you felt like the other team didn't play to their best?
Yeah, but you gotta have sportsmanship.
You're right, but like, I don't know. I feel like if I was in that situation, I'd probably have been pretty pissed and I would have said anything. The thing is, though, on our show about a month ago, mm-hmm. we talked about the Seattle Sounders doing yep. the same exact thing against the Real Salt Lake, and we gave them flack for doing the same exact thing.
Oh, yeah. I think I don't like this style of play, but I don't think you need to come out and insult that team and say all this. One thing that's important to know is that this Sweden's head coach used to be the coach of Team USA.
Right.
So guess what? That coach then knows, oh, if we do this and this and this, that's how we're going to win this game. And that's what they did. Yes, they didn't play as aggressive. Yes, they played a more, hey, we're going to play for PKs. But they still won it in PKs. I mean, and guess who got burned in PKs?
Yeah,
of course, Hope Solo. It was Hope Solo.
Yeah,
like were they cowards on the PKs? Were they not? Were they scared of the PKs? Were they not doing PK? No, they won it on PKs fair. Yes. Do I like this game plan? No. But it's still it's a game plan.
I don't agree. Like, again, back when Seattle did this to Real, I wasn't the only one in the room cursing Seattle for being cowards. We might have used a stronger word, but for being cowards because they didn't try and win. They tried to go to PKs because for whatever reason, they thought they could win in PKs or they thought it was their best chance of winning. I hate any team who doesn't play for the win, which unfortunately describes the men's U.S. team half of the time. Like,
yeah, that's true.
I feel like half of the time they don't go for the win.
Because they know they're not as good. Yeah. They know that the tie is a better chance for them.
Yeah, and I hate watching that game, and I hate that style of play. Granted, I hate a lot of things. I love watching soccer, but there's a lot of things in soccer right now that I very much dislike.
I just feel like you hate things.
I do hate a lot of things. I do
just
hate
things a lot of in things. General are hated.
But the fact that, like, a player in, let's say, for example, in the MLS, flops very proudly and gets the call, I think it's disgusting that the commentators say something like, oh, that was the right play there to go for the foul, or oh, that was a good flop, or anything other than, wow, what an idiot couldn't go for the score, has to flop to get a foul.
Yeah. So apparently you're not a big fan of Javi then.
Oh, I am not a big fan of Javi, no. But neither
of
you.
Us are. Neither of us are. I don't think anyone in our friend group is a very big fan of Javi. I mean, yeah, the way I've looked at it is, you know, at least he's on our team, so we don't have to hate him for a different reason. Like, we basically just hate him because we don't like the way he plays. We don't hate him because he does it to our own team.
Right, right. I guess that's better. But I don't, like, yeah, I don't think Hope should have said that, like, right after the game. But at the same time, she had just lost, was obviously steaming. Like, to just come out and say they were cowards is a pretty, like, mellow thing to say when I agree with what she was saying.
Yeah.
Should she have been more sportsmanlike, congratulated them on the win, and, like, said something to the coach who was her coach? Probably. But I think, I don't know, I don't think she deserves as much flack for what she said as she's getting.
I think it's a combination of a couple things. I think she just says a lot of stupid things.
Yeah.
I think, you know, with the Zika thing and the fact that the whole stadium in Brazil was cheering for Sweden, That's ridiculous. I mean, if your sportsmanship, if what you've been doing recently is making it so a completely neutral site is completely against you, yeah, that's not a good thing. You need to fix some stuff there. And then after this whole stadium has been against you, to then come out and say, well, no, they're just cowards, I think is a very childish approach. And I think it's just not accepting the fact that you couldn't do what you needed to do. And yes, like, I understand, you're upset, you just lost a game you feel you should have won. But at the same time, you do need to be professional. You do need to be somebody who can win with grace and lose with grace.
I can't defend the other things Hope Solo has said, because, and I think that's the reason she's probably getting flack now, is this isn't the first time she said something stupid.
In even these Olympics.
Yeah, and even in these Olympics alone, but like in the past. But I think I would have said the same thing probably, so I can't give her any flack for it.
Yeah.
I guess that's it.
Yeah, all right. The next thing, we're going to talk about our heat of the week. This is really interesting. Team USA men's basketball have been struggling
at 5-0.
Yeah, struggling at 5-0. And it's been interesting to watch. I was with you when we watched the end of the Australia game. Now that game, they did end up winning by 10. In all reality, it was much closer than the score shows. With 30 seconds left, they were up by 5, and Australia had the ball. So Australia had a really good chance to close the game up, or at least tighten it up.
Same thing with Serbia. They had a shot at the last second.
Right. So, I mean, they've had, basically their last three games have come down to the end, which I think is ridiculous. You're really telling me that 15 or 12 NBA players that are just absolutely these stars and do all of this can't beat up on some, like, who even is on Serbia?
I have no
clue. Well, I'm going to look this up. I feel like, yeah, obviously there's probably like one or two NBA players that are good, but
it takes more than just skill though. These players from Serbia, I'm pretty sure play for this, like at least most of them play for the same team in Serbia or wherever they play. And so that's the thing. These guys have been playing for years together, where most of these players for the U.S. have spent the past year hating each other, talking crap on each other, saying how the other player sucks. And now they come together, and they don't have a leader. Draymond Green, who I think would be the best leader offensively and defensively for this team, is on the bench.
Yeah,
LeBron James is at home. Steph Curry is at home.
Yeah, we had Parker Ritchie from St. George just messaged in asking, does men's basketball show how much better LeBron James makes a team, or do you think there is a lot more that goes into that? Well, and Parker, I think, yeah, it goes along with it. I think LeBron does make the team a lot better. You look at when LeBron played, there were no close games. Now all of a sudden the games are close and to teams that, I mean, I'm looking at the Serbian depth chart, and I have no idea who any of these players are. Yeah, I don't follow the NBA as closely as maybe I should, but at the same time, it's like, you got to be kidding me? Like, you're telling me that Kevin Durant, Carmelo Anthony,
who scored 31 points in one game, and Kevin Durant, who scored 30 in a different game.
Yeah. And also,
and that's the thing. You have players who are scoring 31 points because they don't pass the ball. They don't move the ball around. And the biggest issue is their defense. Like, they don't play defense.
Oh, yeah, I agree. That's the problem. They're not playing defense, and they're just playing ISO ball. They're not actually playing any plays. They're just saying, hey, Carmelo, you score. Hey, Kevin, you score.
They've thrown a couple picks.
Yeah.
Like a couple.
They're playing street ball. They're playing street ball. They're playing like a bunch of guys who they've seen each other play a couple of times. They didn't really worry about like writing up any plays because, hey, why would we have to write up plays to beat these teams? All of a sudden, it's getting scary. And I think if they don't get things figured out quick, I don't think they get the gold. I think they could play Brazil or Argentina or Spain, or I think Australia and France could still come back and be competitive against them.
I think the only threats right now are Spain and France. We're going to beat Argentina. We're going to beat the 39-year-old Manu Ginobili and random Argentinian team.
Yeah.
The thing is these close games, while yes, like, it's kind of scary, I don't think we need to be worried. Like, we've been ahead in all of these games by, like, 18 points, and then they go lax on defense. I think when it's a close game,
well, they come out. We weren't ahead by 18 against Australia. We weren't ahead by 18 against France. France game was close.
I'm pretty sure France, we started out with an 18-point lead, and then it went down to 9, and then it was a close game after that.
Okay, because one of these games I saw that it was pretty close, and I think our biggest lead was, like, 12. That might have been Serbia, but I thought it was France.
Regardless, we went the fourth quarter against Australia down 5 and ended, I mean, you could say ended up 5. Like, a 10-point differential in a quarter isn't bad. They put it into drive when it mattered, and they ended that game strong. Australia did have a chance to win.
Yeah.
And whether you say Australia choked or not, USA took home the win.
Yeah, and yes, they did make it through and they did well, but I think they're basically just almost going on luck right now. They're saying
solo skill. You know,
we're hoping that these other teams don't make these shots at the end. We're hoping that, you know, in the end we can make our run that we need to make. If you're cold and you're not having a good shooting night, you don't know if you're going to be able to all of a sudden catch up.
You would have to have 3 of our players have a cold night for us to lose to Argentina. And yeah, we still have 9 other players who could come in and win the game.
Yeah, okay, but if they're not playing a team game, and if you're telling me that Kevin Durant is just going so cold, you really think Kevin Durant's going to just say, you know what, sit me out, or I'd is like he gonna to keep going to keep going and say, I'm going to do better? Coach K hasn't done anything this tournament.
That is my only issue. I think
Coach K hasn't done anything.
Coach K's attitude after all of these losses are horrid. Well, we played a really good team today and we pulled out the win. It's like when two close teams go and play against each other, that's like that. Yeah, we played a good team and we pulled out the win, so we should be proud.
This is like watching some like Disney movie where like the villains are just like, oh, it doesn't matter, we got the win, we got the win. And they're just like not even trying and they're just being jerks, and then all of a sudden like some like big like happy-go-lucky Australian team comes in and like, oh, Aussies and mates, and we're going to get this win, and we're going to put a shrimp on the bobby. And then all of a sudden, like, for some reason, they get a championship, and they get the gold, and it's, like, this big, like, Disney story in 10 years. But, like, in all reality, like, they're not going to do it. Like, I think the U.S. right now just isn't really playing like they care. That's the thing. I watch these games. Kevin Durant is standing there, not even playing defense.
Yeah, they look like a bunch of James Hardens out there.
Yeah, it's a joke. And my thing is, in the end, that's going to come back, and it's going to mean that Team USA will lose somewhere. It's obviously, I don't know which one, because I think any of these teams are, you know, dangerous, but I just think the way they're playing, it's a joke. I also think in 2020... I think Australia is going to be even more dangerous with Dante Exum and Ben Simmons and Thon Maker. Oh my gosh, they're going to be good. And if Team USA goes into that tournament with the same mentality they went into this one, I don't see them beating that team. And it's a big part of it is mentality. I think a team that goes in thinking we've got the game won rarely wins the game easily. And I think that's what Team USA is going into every single game.
You're right, but they're still pulling out the win. Like, at the end of the day, they're winning these games.
Yeah.
Like, and I think come time, if they went into the fourth quarter, say, down by 5, they aren't going to just sit there and be like, eh, we still got this win. I think they're going to be like, okay, well, we need the win now. Let's play ball.
So, I'm going to kind of take this a little different way right now. So, you're saying if there's a team that maybe is winning close games to inferior opponents, the fact that they're just winning the games carries a lot of weight?
No, I'm saying we shouldn't be scared for this team just because they won a few close games. They're okay. Still the better team, and they'll pull out the win.
Okay, because I look at this and I say this is a team that watching them hasn't been impressive. I mean, yeah, they've been Team USA.
Impressive individually, that's for sure.
Yeah, individually they look good. I mean, you say, okay, these guys are great. But, I mean, it's just not a team that you look at and go, wow. I think something funny is Harrison Barnes, for some reason, has, like, the greatest, like, plus or minus in this tournament. He played in the first two games, which are the two that they destroyed.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, Coach K pulls him, and now they can barely win. Like, is Harrison Barnes the difference maker on this team?
No.
But, I mean, look at the scores. Look at the numbers.
No one cares about that. Harrison Barnes is nothing.
Oh, man. Yeah. I don't know. I just think it's ridiculous to see this team just, like, I honestly.
You say that, like, this team has been playing for years. Like, this is the same USA team that's been winning. It's not. They don't have any of, like, the big names, like the LeBron James.
Which is why I think it's a bad sign that they're not doing well.
I still think they win on individual talent. Yes, it's unfortunate that Coach K thinks it's okay to leave Draymond Green on the bench when they need a leader. But
ask Carmelo Anthony how it goes winning on individual talent.
Ask LeBron, like 2006 LeBron James, how it goes winning on individual talent.
It's true.
I mean, he didn't win championship.
He didn't win it.
But the USA team has, like, I'm gonna round it down to like 9 superstars. Like compared to these other teams, they have the star power. They have the players. I don't think we lose when the time comes. I'm not scared. I'm definitely not scared of Manu Ginobili and his 39-year-old butt leading the Argentinians. France will be a challenge. I think France, and if we meet up with Australia in the championship, I think they'll be tough games.
And Brazil could be scary too.
I don't think we'll meet up with Brazil.
Possible.
I don't see them beating France or Australia. I think those are the two big threats. Maybe Spain.
But, so Spain plays France in the first one.
Right. Whoever wins that one's going to be a challenge. And then I think Australia will probably be the one we meet in the championship. I think they're on the other side of the bracket.
Yeah, so it's Australia, Lithuania, Croatia, Serbia, Spain, and France. I don't know how this whole thing lays out. The bracket was pretty poorly shown. But I think it's Australia and Croatia and Serbia that are on the other side, and that would put Spain or France probably in the semifinal.
Yeah.
I'm scared of either one of them.
I think they'll be tough games, but I'm not scared. Yeah. I think it'll be a tough competition. Like, France has already shown that they can play ball, but I think now that it's the playoffs, I think the team will buckle down. Like,
yeah.
I think had they lost one of those games, like, if they had lost one of those games, I don't think the next two games are close. Like, had they lost to, like, Australia, the next two games wouldn't have been close.
And that's the problem. Right now, they can't lose. Like, they literally cannot lose right now. And I agree. I think they need a loss to wake them up. I kind of would have preferred that they lose one and then have, like, a really convincing win the day after. And I think the fact that they haven't lost, I think these guys just still have it in their heads that we'll just win. We've got it locked up. I've already got a place hanging. I mean, Carmelo is already talking about how impressive it is in his career he's won this many gold medals, and he's acting like he's already won this tournament.
Carmelo Anthony did set the record for most points scored in the Olympics.
For the U.S.
For the U.S.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he passed them. That's an impressive record for everyone who's played for the U.S. team. Carmelo Anthony has the record for most points
scored. But he's also acting about, like, how impressive it is that he's won this many golds, and he's treating it like he already won it this year. That's my thing. These players aren't acting like they're in a tournament where they have to compete. They're acting like they're in a tournament where they're going to just hand them the trophy for participation.
I mean, it's like LeBron James and the Cavaliers on the eastern side of the playoffs. Who was their biggest threat?
The Raptors.
Yeah, and the Raptors are terrible in the playoffs.
Except for two of the Raptors players are on this same Team USA team.
Yep, but they're not the leaders of the team. You're not looking for Lowry and DeRozan, not DeRozan.
Yeah, my thing is, I just don't. Man. Lowry and DeRozan.
Okay, it was DeRozan. I thought it was. No, never mind. Don't worry about it.
I don't know. I just look at this and I think.
Then again, I guess no one's the leader of our team, so.
No one's leading it. Durant's lazy. Kyrie's probably the best player on the team recently. Carmelo's just playing ISO. Draymond's on the bench. Klay had one good night. DeMarcus Cousins is big. I'll give him that. He's a big guy.
Yeah.
He's doing well there. Paul George is good. DeAndre's bigger. Jimmy Butler's good. Harrison Barnes, who knows how he found his way onto the bus.
Well, like five players who are better than them are like, eh, I need sleep, or I don't want to get Zika.
Or Gordon Hayward saying that his wife had a baby, and he's like, eh, I'd rather be there, which I really admire. I admire that he did that.
That's good.
I think this would have been a really good shot for his career.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, your career only lasts so long. His kids are, like, and his family's more important. Yeah. So that's really cool.
And, I mean, I think this upcoming year for the Jazz will be a good thing for his career, so.
Yeah, I think they'll do well. But, I think that they need a wake-up call. The chance for the wake-up call to come without having, like, that big shock has already passed. And I think that's an issue. I mean, you can kind of look at, like, the USA women's, like, they had one close game in the pool play, and then the next game they lost in the quarterfinals. They didn't wake up. They didn't recognize what they needed to do. And yeah, Sweden did well. Sweden played the right game strategy against them. And I could see Australia, France, Spain, these teams playing the right strategy against them and then doing well and upsetting them.
My biggest thing is everyone quotes this, like, stat that, the U.S. has averaged, like, a 29-point win in the past. It's not the past. It's a completely different team. They don't have a LeBron James. They don't have a player like that on this team. And the teams like Australia, France, and Spain are getting better. Like, it doesn't say as much that, like, they're not winning by 30 points every game. One, that's super boring to watch. But two, these teams are getting better, and we, like, lost, like, our leader of the team. Like, if we had one of the... Then it would be 30-point, no discussion. Like,
yeah, I agree. And that's part of the reason I think Team USA needs to be concerned. These teams are getting better, and they don't have these leaders. That's why I think Team USA needs to wake up. They need to do something, or this is going to end up being a really bad thing. And then we have to go through the redeem team all over again. And we're going to have all these great players that have to come, and they can't turn it down because they have to show that the team USA is where we have the best basketball, and we won't lose another game for another 74 games. And
I mean, U.S. is where we have the best basketball.
No, it is.
If France or Australia wins, it'll be on the back of their NBA stars. Like, there's no argument that the NBA isn't the best in the league. It's just whether they're U.S. born or if we're imported.
Can you imagine?
Freedom.
Can you imagine, like, France beats Team USA as Rudy Gobert blocks DeAndre Jordan's shot, and it flies into the other basket and gives him a win at the buzzer? Just like this somehow volleyball shot that just goes in.
I mean, I do love Rudy Gobert, so yes, I'd love to watch that.
That would be the most insane thing. Like,
right.
Game is tied, 1 second left, DeAndre throws it up, Rudy Gobert just swats it away, goes, flies into the other basket, and France wins. Like, that would be, like, the most, like, movie ending you could ever hear of, and it would be hilarious, and I would die of laughter.
When I think of, like, France beating the U.S., I can only think of Talladega Nights, where the French guy goes up against Will Ferrell, you know, and then in the end, U.S. wins, and he's like, oh, good, I just wanted to lose.
Yeah. I don't know, it's weird because I'm looking at this French team, and this French team, yeah, they have Tony Parker that's old, but he's still Tony Parker. I mean, it's like John Stockton near the end of his career. Yeah, it's an older player, but there hasn't been a drop-off, really. Boris Diaw, who's great. There's Thomas Hurdle, Rudy Gobert, Nicolas Batum. Like, those five are good. And then they have other players that come in and are good additions. So that's why I look at that, and I'm like, France is scary. I'm very, very afraid of France.
Then why is it so bad that we only lost by 3 to them if you're so scared of their 5
Because
starters?
I think it's going to keep getting worse. I think they're going to keep playing better. And
why is that Spain's so bad if there's competition? It's boring when the U.S. wins every game by 30.
It's not the idea of competition. It's the idea of I don't think the U.S. will win the tournament.
Oh, no. Then they'll come back and win.
In 4 years.
Yeah.
I think...
They're still the best team out there. They just don't have their leader.
Wins the games that matter.
I would rather the U.S. lose this tournament than us go back to winning every game by 30. That's boring. I've never watched Olympic basketball until this year because it's boring to watch them win by 30 and them just like Harlem Globetrotters all over the other team. Like,
Harlem Globetrotters get a pretty good crowd to all their games, though. And you already know they're going to win. The Generals are not. You know, I think the Generals have a pretty good chance this season.
I've been a Generals fan since I was 3 years old. There's a picture of me wearing a Generals jersey in my living room.
Are you making fun of me right now?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Okay, there's an actual picture of me wearing a Packers jersey. I've seen it. Yeah, like, but no, like, it's the same idea. Like, if the Harlem Globetrotters were to lose to the Generals, and, like, it wasn't, like, a planned thing, people would be like, what the heck? And I feel like that's, like, Team USA basketball right now. Like, what the heck is going on? If we're going to have – if we want competitive, we should do a 25 and under team. Have it where these young players have competitive opportunities, and it's competitive.
I would love to watch that.
I think that would be a good idea. But right now, where we have the biggest stars in the NBA, the best basketball players in the world on our team, and yet they can't really beat the other teams. Or they're sitting
at home watching their team disappoint them.
That's true.
Like, the best players are at home right now. The top – I'm going to say top two, but probably the top three players are sitting at home right now. Or Draymond Green on the bench.
So, wait, who's the top three? Steph, LeBron, and Hayward.
Steph, and then obviously Gordon Hayward.
No, who's your third?
I don't know. Draymond Green, honestly, I honestly probably put Draymond Green above Steph Curry. As much as people hate me for it, when he wasn't playing well, the Warriors didn't look it. I don't think Steph Curry's a leader for that team. He's just the guy who can hit all the threes.
That's fair.
And I think Draymond Green's the reason they're as good as they are. So, yeah, I think Draymond Green at two makes Steph Curry number three.
Okay, I'll take that.
And if Draymond Green was starting in these games, I don't think it's close. I just want to know if Coach K is just like super low on Draymond, or if he's like punishing him for kicking everybody in the nuts.
Sure, that could be.
Or if everybody was like, you know, we really don't want to play with Draymond. We're scared he'll kick his own team in the nuts.
That's true. I mean, if I was Kevin Durant, even though I'm, like, on his own team in the NBA now, I would be timid. Like, I would be afraid.
Yeah. Or maybe Kevin Durant said, I will not start with Draymond Green. I don't know.
I doubt he'd say that. You're right. How he's going to start on the same NBA team 82 games next year.
Right.
Plus playoffs.
But
I don't know. Okay. I mean, we came to a conclusion. Team USA is in trouble, and we should be concerned.
I don't think we should be concerned. Even if we lose, I'm not concerned. I think the fact that we don't have a LeBron James here and that Draymond Green's on the bench is a big like telltale that the reason they're losing, they don't have a leader.
Yeah. All
right. And I don't know if Draymond Green's the answer because everyone in the NBA hates him right now. But
yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Okay, so we're going to keep moving on. The next story, we're going to finish up our last Olympic story. Michael Phelps. Michael Phelps has won 23 golds. I believe it's a total of 28 medals. And there's a discussion about whether he is the best Olympian of all time, whether he is the greatest Olympian athlete ever, and where he is there. And I think it's crazy to see where he's really come. I think he really, really is a stellar athlete. I think he's the greatest swimmer of all time. There's not a doubt about that.
What about Katie Ledecky?
I think she has the potential to be that.
Okay.
But I think right now, even in this Olympics, she did really, really well, and she did awesome, but she didn't end up – I mean, she hasn't won 8 golds in one Olympics.
That's fair.
I think she – could potentially do that in the future. I think she won 5 this year.
I don't keep track.
She doesn't lose races, though. She's like never lost a race.
Watch swimming. Honestly, this year, all I've watched is beach volleyball and indoor volleyball.
Men's beach volleyball?
I caught one men's volleyball game, like 3 women's beach volleyball games. And I think I watched like one race, like one run, and then like one, I think it was the 800 meter. And yeah, it was like it.
That was it.
Oh, and like the balance beam and whatever.
Oh yeah, that we watched last night.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, that was good. You had that girl from the Netherlands that you like.
Oh yeah, Weaver. She's adorable.
Do you want to send a message out to her, see if she hears it?
No.
No? Come on, man. This is your chance at love.
She's got way too much love right now. I'll be the guy in 4 years when she gets, like, fourth place and she's super sad. I'll swoop in then.
Okay. That's fair. Add her on Facebook today so that you're not, like, kind of
right,
weird.
So I can, like, say I've been trying for, like, 4 years. That's not just that I'm trying to swoop in, of course.
Yeah, you're not just trying to swoop. You're a sincere guy. You're really looking out for her best interest.
Yeah, I'm just a huge fan.
But no, like, my thing is, like, Michael Phelps is obviously the most decorated Olympian.
Of course.
But you can't say he's the best Olympian. It's ridiculous.
I mean, I think you could, but you'd have to come up with some, like, parameters to, like, judge that. You can't just, like, there's so many different sports. There's so many, like, different, because, I mean, the Olympics have been going for thousands of years.
Yeah.
Like, he
beat the record for the most individual, like, events won, and it was, like, a record from, like, 2100 years ago by, like, Leonidas de Theonis or some Greek dude.
That's pretty cool.
And so he beat that record, and so that's why people are like, he beat the record, he's now the greatest Olympian of all time. I don't agree.
I mean, if that's your parameters, I guess you could say that, but I don't think that's what makes the best athlete of all time. But the problem is there's so many different, like, events that, like, what makes the most decorated Olympic swimmer or the most decorated Olympian ever just as a swimmer? Maybe it's just more competitive in running, or maybe, you know, what have you. I don't know. I just think it's way too hard to say that he's the best Olympian of all time because, one, I don't have stats from 2100 years ago. And two, there's so many different things to look at that, like, it would be impossible to judge, I think.
Yeah, that's my thing. I think it's impossible to judge him and, like, judge everyone else and say that he's better. I mean, I can't say that Usain Bolt is the best Olympian ever, but, I mean, there's an argument there. He's won 7 of his 7 events, and he doesn't do, like, the issue is, you have Michael Phelps that can compete in 8 events in 1 Olympics, whereas in any other sport other than swimming, the most you could probably win would be like 5 or 6. And right. I mean, for Bolt, it's like 2 or 3. And it's like, that's why it's so tough, and why I think the medal count of him saying that, you know, he's won 23 golds gets a little distorted.
Right.
He was the best swimmer of the time, but that year he was able to get 8 medals by still being the best swimmer of the time. I think Usain Bolt, if there was 8 different races, if you had a 100-meter race, a 150-meter race, a 200-meter race, a 250-meter race, if you have, like, these staggered, if you have a 100-meter backpedal, I think Usain Bolt wins all of them, and I think it then changes the medal count, and it changes the argument, and it completely changes the game.
All right. I guess with the last 2 minutes, the question is Michael Phelps coming back in 4 years in Tokyo?
Yeah. I think he's talked about retiring, but I just don't see where he actually retires. Like, he said he's going to go to, what's it called? Oh, Arizona State, and he's going to be a coach there. He's already done a lot with Arizona State, and, you know, he had one of their basketball games where he jumped out of the curtain in a Speedo and had, like, all of his medals around his neck to distract the free throw shooter. And, was pretty cool. I think he'll still do a lot of stuff at Arizona State because I think he's a guy who likes to have fun.
He can do that and compete in the Olympics, though. That's my thing. And the thing is he's coming off his second best Olympics. I think if he hadn't done as well this year, or if, like, one of those golds had been, like, a bronze, possibly he sits out. But I think coming off, like, his second, I think it's his second best, like, gold, like, medal count, I don't see him retiring. He's still the best in his, like, his, like, event. Like, every single one of them, he's the best. He might not win all of them, but he's still the best.
Yeah, I think it's going to take to where if he qualifies for the event, he's going to go to the Olympics. If he's a good enough swimmer, and I think the fact that he's going to be a swim coach, he's probably just going to do the same practices with them.
Right.
He's probably going to lead them in whatever swim they do, and he's going to sit there and be like, oh, no, watch, this is how you swim an 800-meter race, and he's going to do it, and they're going to be like, oh, wow, okay. And then they're going to keep doing stuff, and it's just going to be like, well, I guess Michael Phelps is still in shape and is going to do the Olympics. Like, he has to start losing before he's really done.
Right. Well, and Ryan's already said he's preparing for Tokyo, so...
Oh, Lochte, yeah.
Lochte, he said not Phelps, but anyway.
Yeah, and I mean, he was another one who was supposedly done, and now all of a sudden he's back. They were both done
at the end of the year, and now he's preparing for the Tokyo Olympics.
So. I guess all it took was Lochte getting robbed for him to go, you know, I need to come back, because he was robbed in Rio, and all of a sudden he's like, well, I'm going to come back. Like, are you kidding me? Like, if you're going to do it, do it. But I think it's funny how the IOC said that Lochte didn't actually get robbed. Like, they come out and they're like, no, he didn't. And then everyone says, like, yeah, he did. And then they're like, yeah, he did. Like, the IOC is a joke right now.
Why is that something that you come out and say? Why is that necessary?
Like, yeah.
If he's lying to get attention, why is it the IOC's job to jump in and be like, no, he's lying? Unless they were planning on, DQing him for lying about getting robbed? I don't know. Or if they're... Like, I guess if Brazil came out and said, no, that's a lie, Brazil's safe, makes sense. But I don't understand why the IOC thought it was their job to step in there.
Yeah, I don't know either. I think it's just a complete joke how everything's been taken care of. We've had a while to see how just the Olympics has completely fallen apart. But, I mean, I guess that's the Olympics this year. And it's just going to reassure that it goes back to L.A. in 2024, so that's fine.
That's fair. But, I mean, as far as bad things could have gone in Brazil, 4 people getting held up.
And 2 pools that were turned green and started smelling like sewage.
Yeah, like, there's only 2 pools, though.
How many pools are there?
Yeah, there had to be at least 8.
I don't think there were.
There wasn't.
I was just saying, I'm like...
No, there probably was maybe 3. Because there's the diving pool, and then there's, like, the racing pool.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm sure they have some, like, practice pool or something.
Yeah, and then, I mean, one of the pools that turned nasty was the water polo pool.
Oh, yeah.
But it was also the same one they used for synchronized swimming, so they drained it and then refilled it for synchronized swimming.
Uh-huh.
So
it looks like there's,
probably, like, 4.
4, yeah.
Man,
so 50%?
50% of the pools turned toxic. That's fine.
And I didn't hear about anything going bad with the boaters, did you?
I heard something about like a jellyfish or something, that there's something weird, but apparently they weren't like that concerned with it and it was fine. I mean,
to be fair, you could have had jellyfish in Australia too, so.
Yeah, you could have sharks in Australia.
Of all bad things we were like expecting in Brazil, it went pretty okay.
Yeah, I think... If they were to, like, I know they already had the Summer Olympics in Sydney, but if they were to have it again, I think the main concern would be the animals. Like, just, like, the random concern that, like, a random killer animal in Australia just kills an Olympian. They just get
killed by drop bears.
Yeah, what?
Drop bears, they sit in the tree and then they drop on you and smash you.
What is this thing? That's not a real thing in Australia, is it?
Drop bears, as far as I'm aware, are real things. I've had a few Australians confirm that drop bears are real. And then I've had other people tell me that they're fake. But I'm a believer. I believe that drop bears are real.
This says that a drop bear, sometimes written drop bear, like slightly different, is a hoax in contemporary Australian folklore featuring a predatory carnivorous version of a koala. The imaginary animal is commonly spoken about in tall tales designed to scare tourists.
I mean... You think that until the drop bear falls down and kills you. That's what they want you to think, so you visit Australia. They want you to think, oh, no, all you have to worry about is a kangaroo kicking you in the head and then all these snakes and spiders. So there's no bears that'll drop on you.
Yeah, like, I'm just waiting for, like, some random, like, Usain Bolt is running, like, the 100-meter dash, and then just a drop bear just flies in and drops on him, kills him.
Exactly. Like, that would be exciting. As sad as it would be. It'd be exciting.
Okay, we need somebody with some Australian knowledge other than us to confirm if drop bears are real.
I need
a real thing.
Aussie out there to, like, hit us up and at competitive USU to tell me if drop bears are real or not. Because they are.
Yeah, like, that's how this show has turned around. Maybe that's what the Australian national team uses to beat Team USA. They just bring in, like, 12 drop bears and just start dropping them in. They're hanging on the nets and just killing DeAndre Jordan. Like, that, honestly, that could beat Team USA.
That's how Australia's going to win.
That's how they're going to do it. The French are going to use, like, baguettes or something like that.
Right.
All right. I think that's all we have for today. It's been a great show. We're really excited. into the new time frame. We're going to do Thursday mornings, I believe. Thursdays we'll tweet at 9?
At Competitive USU, but I'm thinking it's Thursday at 9.
Yeah.
We'll have it pre-recorded Tuesday or Wednesday, and then we'll be on Thursday at 9. So unfortunately, we won't have any audience interaction, but...
But you can still, like, tweet to us and text us, like, during the week about different topics that you've heard about. And we'll talk about them, and we'll try and include you. Thanks to Parker from St. George that made the comment today, and we'll keep looking out for you guys. Or if you tweet
us, we'll make sure to mention it on the next show. But we'll catch you next week, and we're going to listen to...